Meet Me in Buenos Aires by Marlena Hobsbawm and read by Charlotte Strevens for Saga Egmont. Prologue. Becoming a singleton after 50 years of marriage was an adventure of its own, and starting the endeavour of writing a memoir at 85 was quite optimistic, as my vocabulary and memory are diminishing. I didn't set out to write a memoir. It was a project that unfolded slowly. Once the Cambridge historian Sir Richard Evans expressed his interest in writing my husband Eric's biography, I naturally became very involved. This seven-year undertaking stirred up memories of my own life, from times before, with, and after Eric. Once I began, I found myself compelled to continue. But above all, I wanted my grandchildren to know about my life. Not being a historian, I was more interested in remembering life from another angle, piecing together a record of family, friendship, travel, and an unwavering love between two unlikely individuals. Introduction. The Hobsbawms, Eric and Marlena, always seemed to me an example of a perfect couple, mutually devoted and at the same time welcoming friends to their house with extraordinary generosity. Invitations to dinners came regularly, to Sunday lunches, to visit them in their cottage in Wales, to celebrate at memorable parties. With Marlena and Eric you always enjoyed yourselves. Good talk, good jokes, good arguments, good friends, good food, good wine. And Marlena was a cook and organiser, while also teaching music, raising the children, and dealing with every sort of practical problem thrown up by family life and marriage to a hard-working and celebrated husband. I knew Eric by reputation when I was an undergraduate at Cambridge, and my friend Neil Asherson was taught by him and spoke of him with admiration. While researching my first book in the early 1970s, I therefore consulted Eric on some historical points. My subject was Mary Wollstonecraft, who proclaimed the rights of women in the 1790s, and my impression was that he was not exactly a feminist, while being more kind and helpful in his response than I could have hoped, as indeed he was whenever I asked for advice or help. He also wrote the occasional review for me when I worked on The New Statesman in the mid-70s, and this was when I went to their house in Hampstead for the first time and met Marlena. I thought she was amazing, and we formed a friendship that has strengthened ever since. 45 years, I make it. I realise now how little I knew of her early life, although we were almost the same age and both had continental origins. I French, she Viennese. I understood she'd been brought to England as a small child when her father, a successful businessman, saw how dangerous Hitler was. I once asked her about learning a second language, and she gave me a charming account of how she had refused to speak a word of English for a long time. I suppose it was a form of protest at being uprooted. But that one day her mother, listening outside the room where she was playing alone, heard her addressing her dolls in perfectly good English. The stubborn, clever child predicted the versatile and charming woman. Reading her memoir, I realised that she and I shared the experience of being sent off to boarding schools we did not always like. She ran away, I fell ill, and that as young women we were both exploring Paris at about the same time, studying French history, reading Gide and Colette, entranced by Les Enfants du Paradis, Prévert, Charles Trenet, and the streets, bridges, parks, and paintings in the galleries. We both also went through the then almost obligatory ritual for young women of learning secretarial skills. After that, she, with immense dash, took herself to Italy and found jobs in Rome and Capri, lived a life of utmost sophistication, and moved on to work in the Congo for a year. Adventurous, brave, and loyal, she made friends wherever she went and kept them. She was 29 when she met and married Eric. He was already known as a scholar, teacher, and historian whose books became instant classics, and was greatly in demand as a speaker.